Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in with us tonight. We really have a great show planned for you tonight, and I trust that you all have had a very good week, a good holiday. For those of you all that may have celebrated a holiday, even if you've been off or not. But anyway, we've got a great show planned for you tonight. So please stand by. And as always, I like to sort of revisit some of our past shows. And tonight I want to just revisit one of our past shows where we talked about, we mentioned last week, should dating come with an expiration date? We did touch on that, and many people have said yes. We also talked about some of the other aspects of relationships, and people have also touched on some of those. Now, we're dealing with some topics that are going to be very near and dear to our heart, and I'm going to ask that you all stand by. And, of course, if you have a topic that you would like to hear about, please, by all means, please send it in to us, and we will certainly consider it and put it over the air, in terms of putting it over the air. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can listen to this show one of three ways, possibly. You can go to the internet, drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com, either one of those. You can certainly go to, you can listen live at 347-857-1769. That's another way that you can tune into the show as well. You can send us a comment at online, all one word, online at drjessewalker.com. You can get in through there. Check out my new company. It's called Dr. Jesse Walker Senior, a virtual international center for character education. You can go to the website at drjessewalker.com, click on Center for Character Education, and visit us right there online. So we have, that's just one of the ways to reach out to us. Without further delay, we're going to go ahead because we have a long and very promising story tonight and a promising show. So we're going to go ahead right now and bring in my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me. Let's bring in Ms. Blake now. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening.
Hi, Dr. Walker. How are you?
Doing just wonderful. I trust you are as well.
Oh, yeah, it's been a busy day. I was in the process of taking care of some business, and so it's been a successful day.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm very happy to hear that. And we're certainly looking forward to tonight's topic. And those of you all, if you're a first-time caller, we want you to definitely tune in and give us your thoughts. Everything that's presented over the airwaves are basically individuals and their opinions. Doesn't mean that there's anything that's written in stone or anything along those lines. It's basically an opinion that we're giving, and you know, who's to say who's right or wrong? Wouldn't you agree to that, Ms. Blake?
Yeah, definitely. They're all opinions. We just expect people to be guided by the spirit of God or whoever they believe in. And,
right.
You know, definitely we are giving our opinion.
Right, right. Last week's show we talked about, is it still healthy? Is it healthy to still be in love with someone that you can't have? You recall that show, Miss Blake?
I do.
Okay. Is it healthy to still be in love with someone that you can't have? I say no, it's not. By no means is it healthy to still be in love with someone that you can't have, because, I mean, in last week's story, the party that was still in love with someone had already gotten married to somebody else and was going on and going forward with their lives, while that person was still just trying to hang in there and hold on to a relationship that just didn't make any sense. So what are your thoughts on that? I say just let it go.
You have to, because you have to value your worth. And I think we talked about that, and just face reality. And if you need to get counseling to do that, then by all means do so.
Right, and I think that that's a very good point to bring in. Counseling is always a good thing. It can help people, whether they're ready for it or not. You know, counseling can be a very good thing. Anything else that you would like to cover from some of our previous shows, Ms. Blake?
We just talked about getting out of unhealthy relationships. That's one, I think, that we did quite a while back. There are a lot of people out there that are in unhealthy relationships, and they need to take stock of that and make those tough decisions.
Okay, absolutely, I agree. I do agree. Why don't you go ahead this time and give your commercial so we can get right into tonight's story?
Sure. I have a couple of different things to talk about tonight, but I just want to reiterate the books that are out there. Sometimes I don't really talk about all my books. You all are familiar with Falling in Love with Me, which is in both paperback form and ebook form. Easiest way to access it is go to Amazon.com. It's on there. Type in Audrey Blake, which is the name I write under, and my actual name as well, Falling in Love with Me. Then there's Dying to Wake Up, which for those of you who are novel readers, it is not in a hard copy yet, as I hope one day, but it is an ebook. So it's out there at just a steal of a price of $4.99. A great read about a young woman at the top of her game who meets the man of her dreams and all that pursues after that in her life and the life of her friends. And also, Dr. Walker, I haven't spoken much about a collaborative book that I'm featured in. It's called Behind Her Brand, and actually it's 50 and Fabulous, and 50 Plus and Fabulous. And it's a collaboration of women who have stepped out to do their own businesses. And it's basically a movement of the Fabulous and 50 who are going without limits, who are facing their dreams and inspiring other women to do the same. That book, if you'd like to get information on that, you can contact me directly. You can email me at flyinc2011@gmail.com. Again, that's flyinc2011@gmail.com. And that's a book where I talk a little bit about how I built the business Fly and what led me up to that. And it's a compilation by Sherry Glitzen, who is a hometown girl of mine. And several women, including myself, are featured in that book. Didn't know if you knew about that, so I wanted to mention that.
No, I wasn't. This is the first time hearing about that one. So I congratulate you on that and wish you much success.
Thank you.
I wish you much success as you progress with all of your books, and I'm very excited to hear that and very proud of you as well. Thank you for joining us, for sharing that with us. And you did mention how they can get in touch with you.
Right. By email, I think, is the best way. You just email me. That way I'll have it in writing, and I can get back to you with the information. Right now, there are various ways to get the book, but I actually am going to probably purchase some for resale so that I can actually send them to people. And again, just email me at fly, that's FLYINC2011@gmail.com. And the last thing I just want to mention is I invite people to follow me on my Facebook page, Two Sips in Conversation. I mean, oftentimes on the show, I know that You know how I am, Dr. Walker. I like to talk about relationships, and I like to talk about sexuality, and I'm pretty real with it. And so this is kind of an offline way to take it to the next level in the sense of, you know, something that may be a little bit, little uncomfortable for some on this show, but for those people who really want to talk about it real, the real issues dealing with sexuality, follow my Facebook page. It's called Two Sips and Conversation. And you're welcome to just send me a friend request. If you don't do Facebook, I have blogs that I'm writing once a week now, just go ahead and email me, and I can email the blog to you. That's it for this week, Dr. Walker.
All right. Well, that sounds really interesting, very interesting, in fact. All right, let's get ready for tonight's show. Tonight's topic, as a matter of fact, tonight's topic is signs that tell if he or she is the right one. What comes to your mind? Let me just, before I go into tonight's story, what comes to your mind, Ms. Blake, on when you hear that topic, signs that tell if he or she is the right one?
What comes to mind is the question. There was a song out a long time ago. Definitely wasn't a church song, but it wasn't a bad song. I think it was Whitney sang it. She's my favorite artist, one of them. How will I know if he really loves me? So it's kind of that question that's being asked. How do you know that they're the one? That, you know, what are the characteristics that people exhibit that are truly interested in you and not just using you?
All right. In your opinion, how do you know if he's the right one or if she's the right one? Then I'll give my thought on that. How do you know if this is the right one or not?
There's a lot of signs. So I'll just throw out one of them. They have your best interest at heart. And because they do, or he does, or she does, he or she will not attempt to tear you down in any way.
Okay. All right. Very good. And my thought is, in addition to what you said, I agree with that. And I would say that if they show you that they're, I mean, overly interested in terms of not just by what they say, but by what they do, their actions can actually tell whether or not they're really all that into you. All right, here we go. You know, and then, of course, you got to look for the chemistry and compatibility. The chemistry and compatibility, and I think that that becomes very important. All right, let's get ready for tonight's story. We have our characters, Carol and Dave, D-A-V-E, Carol and Dave. Now, before getting married, Dave and Carol, both in their late 20s, dated for only 9 months. At the time, they both felt that this is it. This is a perfect match, and why not just get married and go forward with their lives, so they thought. Now, neither one of them have been married before, and neither one of them has children. Now, despite several signs that appear to be more than telltale signs of not being the right one for each other, they thought the laughter that they shared was enough for them to take their relationship to the ultimate step. Okay, once again, despite several signs that appear to be more than telltale signs of not being the right one for each other, they thought the laughter that they shared was enough for them to take their relationship to the ultimate step of marriage. Now, Dave was a lot of fun. He really was a lot of fun and always had jokes to tell Carol. Carol loved to laugh, and she also loved to have fun. And this really was the only real thing that they had in common was the laughter. Now, some of the signs they both ignored or simply didn't care about at the time included but not limited. All right, number one, there's 12 of them right here. This is just a few of them. Dave does not have a good track record for holding down a job. That's number one for him. Carol, on the other hand, has a four-year degree, and Dave dropped out of high school. Dave loves to hang out with his friends, and he loves to have fun drinking and partying. Carol is more of a homebody who enjoys being home. He lives with his older sister and her family. Carol lives with her college roommate. Dave works at a storage shelter for the past 3 months while he's in between jobs. Dave is extremely jealous. Carol has an outgoing personality. Dave has clearly expressed that he does not even want an animal or anything else that he would have to feed other than, you know, a wife, of course. And Carol, on the other hand, has expressed that someday she would like to have at least two children. Now, despite all these challenges, Carol and Dave are very much in love and have made plans to be married in the next 2 months. And Carol has no problem putting up practically all of the money for their wedding. All right? She has no problem with that. The question is, Blake, that I'm going to start out with tonight is, in this case, does love conquer all, or is love really enough?
Love is not always enough, because if love was enough, a lot of people would still be together today.
Okay, all right. That's short and to the point. Love is not let's go with that. Because, you know, we hear, and even Scripture says that love conquers all. But in this case, and I like what you said, if love was enough, then more people would be together. But then again, remember last week's show, is it healthy to still be in love with someone that you can't have? So it could be that people are still in love. It could be that they're still in love, but they're just not together again, because at the time, love may not have been it. It could have just been some of the other things that are more practical, perhaps. Go ahead and expand on what you were going to say.
Well, one, here's something I tell my friends, I tell my life. Not everything you like is good for you. And that's something to just think on for a second. You know, because we like things, but they may not be good for us. And it takes more than just love. I mean, there are people who are divorced, but they still love each other, but they couldn't make it together. So a reason I say it takes more than just love, it takes, you know, a mutual ME, like I talk about, mutual enhancement, two people working together, two people wanting it bad enough. It not meaning sex, but wanting the relationship to work bad enough. Because if one person badly wants it to work and the other person is like, if this doesn't work, I'm out, then it's a recipe for a disaster.
Right. I certainly agree with that. What about Dave and Carol here in this story, this scenario tonight? I mean, this is a recipe absolutely for disaster because, I mean, even though they're having a lot of fun, and, I mean, there's nothing wrong with fun, and I think most marriages or relationships, they probably need to have more fun. But at what point does the practical aspect come into play and reality sets in? What do you think, Ms. Blake?
It comes in right away. I mean, well, it may not come in right away, but eventually it will come in pretty soon. Because as we say back in the day, love does not pay the rent. You know? And
yeah,
so the fact that... And Dave doesn't want to, I think his name is Dave, I may have it wrong. He doesn't want to work. I mean, that's a problem. The fact that she's willing to pay for everything, cool. If she wants to do that, that's fine. But that's going to get right old after a while.
Well, I think so, too. I think that that's going to grow old. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a second. I mean, I'm thinking along those lines that that's going to definitely go old. Before we go to the phone lines, I want to comment on one of the other questions that we have, and we certainly encourage you all to send in your comments as well. Do you think that this couple, Dave and Carol, do you think that they are evenly or equally yoked? I mean, there is absolutely no question about it that, to me, they're not equally yoked. I mean, the only thing that they really seem to have in common is the fact that they like to have fun. I don't see anything else. I mean, she wants kids eventually. He doesn't want anything else that he's got to feed, not even an animal. He can't even hold down a good track record, you know. I mean, even the conversation. And I'm not suggesting here that just because she has a college degree, a four-year degree, and he doesn't, he dropped out of high school, I'm not suggesting or inferring that, you know, they can't be compatible in that area, which, I mean, I don't know to what extent But fun is not life is not all fun and games. There is seriousness at some point. So what does being equally yoked have to do with this couple, if anything, Ms. Blake, in your opinion?
Well, they're just not on the same level. And I think I'm with you. I do think that it will have an impact to even the education level, because it has to do with them being able to hold a conversation where they understand each other. And it's just so many red flags in his characteristics, so many of them, from the fact that he's jealous to the fact that he won't keep a job, you know, just so many things that they're not really complementing each other. It would be one thing if he had something great in one area and she had something in another, but I really don't see what he's really good at other than making her laugh.
Right, right. And I mean, but couldn't they just live off of the laughter every day? I mean, just telling jokes. Let's go to the phone line and find out. We're going to go to 954-226. Who do we have on the air?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us. I mean, couldn't laughter be enough for this couple, Rose?
Not in my opinion. I think it will get old after a while, you know. And right now she might be having fun. And maybe, you know, it seemed like she might be a bit desperate. Because the fact that he clearly tells her that he doesn't want kids, you know, he doesn't want anyone else that he has to feed, not even an animal, and she knows that she wants kids, then it tells me that something is definitely wrong here. She's willing to pay for everything. After a while, she's going to resent him. She's going to resent the fact that she's the only one bringing something to the table, you know, and he's putting nothing. He has nothing to offer. And what happened later on when she decided, you know what, I'm ready for kids, and he still says that I don't want any kids. You know, she's gonna have all these wasted years maybe of having to now start over because, you know, when a woman wants kids, she wants kids. You know, there are those who just don't want, and those women just don't want kids. But a lot of women, if they say they want kids, they're not going to feel complete until they do have the kids that they want. So therefore, if she wants kids and he doesn't, she needs to, you know, just cut the losses of whatever time she has already spent with him and don't bother getting married to him because she's going to end up, you know, having to start over soon.
That's an interesting perspective. You know, and I think that those are things that are very important. And Ms. Blake, I mean, and I'm sure that they've talked about this, but because it sounds this couple, because they joke so much that when it's time to really get serious and Carol begins to really lay down her law and Chancellor Dave is not really hearing that what she's saying, then that's going to be a serious problem. So, Rose, I agree with you 100%. That's going to be a serious problem down the road. Where the laughter now all of a sudden, you know, his jokes are not that funny anymore. And so now, because reality has set in. Ms. Blake, what do you think? I think Rose is on point.
She definitely does have some good points. I definitely agree with that.
All right. Let's take a look at another comment here, and I want to comment on this one here. You know, the question is, does Dave have a clue of what he's getting into? I don't think so. I don't think that, the reason why I say that is because I don't think Dave is really, neither one of them have been married. And so Dave is not really looking at this, in my opinion, as a, from a responsible perspective. He's not looking at it as hey, being a person who's responsible. So by him not looking at it, you know, being a responsible person, everything to him is just a joke. And that is not the way it goes. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is signs that tell if he or she is the right one. Signs that tell if he or she is the right one. And our characters in tonight's story are Dave and Cal. This couple have been dating prior to getting married. They're both in their late 20s. They dated for 9 months, and they feel that this is it. You know, they feel that this is the perfect match, And why waste time? Let's just go ahead and get married. Now, neither one of them have ever been married. They have no children. And then some of the signs that are here are basically Dave does not have a track record for a job. Carol has a four-year degree. Dave dropped out of high school. Dave loves to hang out with his friends and have fun drinking and partying. Carol is more of a homebody who enjoys being home. Dave lives with his older sister and her family. Carol lives with her college roommate. Carol is a manager on her job. Dave works at a storage shelter for the past 3 months while he's in between jobs. Now, Dave is extremely jealous. Carol, on the other hand, is outgoing. Carol has expressed that someday she would like to have at least two children. Dave says he doesn't even want an animal, you know, anything else out other than a wife that he's got to feed. Now, despite all of these here challenges, this couple is very much in love. They're very much in love. And so, you know, Ms. Blake has said it, and I've agreed that in this case, love is not enough. So we want to hear from you all as well out there. Ms. Blake, do you think that Dave knows what he's getting into? Because he's just a jokester.
I don't think he's unaware of what he's getting into, but I don't think he's given it that serious thought. It kind of reminds me of quite a few males that I've had conversations with about the topic. And these are not clients, but these are just people I talk to in general sometimes. And they have this attitude like, yeah, I'm going into this, and, you know, if this doesn't work out, I have a side piece or I'll leave. So I don't know what attitude Dave has. I don't really think he's truly thought through the fact that this is a lifelong commitment and their compatibility is very important.
Okay, and I certainly agree with that. You know, I think that he's aware that he's getting married, but I don't think he's aware of the seriousness that a marriage takes on. And I think that that's where the problem is going to come in. Well, how about Carol, for instance? I mean, she hasn't been married, and when the jokes run out, I mean, clearly, somewhere along the way, the last laugh is probably going to fall on her. And she's out financially and some other things. And then time, as Lois said, it progresses, and, you know, she's not having the children, and now she has to start all over. And, you know, sometimes people try to fix someone. So she can end up, they're both in their late 20s and could be 27, and now they get married in a couple of months, and then all of a sudden now, 3 years down the road, she's 30, she doesn't have any kids, and as Lois said, she's going to want some children. And so now it's like, you know, then she's going to see some of the realities by living with Dave that she didn't really sign up for. So the signs are written all over the wall. Would you agree, Ms. Blake, that this couple is not like each other?
Yeah, definitely. And going back to this whole thing with Carol putting up practically all the money. I need to revisit that because I said that's up to her. But, you know, she really needs to open her eyes because a man should be able to provide for the family. And I know in these tough economic times, some men may not be able to do that 100%, and that's understandable, but he at least needs to have the capability to put in his fair share. And no one's measuring like you do 50, I do 50. We know it's not like that always. But the fact that she's going to put up everything, I mean, in that case, doesn't even sound like they need to have a wedding to begin with.
Okay. All right. But, I mean, isn't Ms. Blake, I'm just throwing this question out there before my listening audience panic all over the place. It's just a question. And, Rose, we're going to ask you to respond to this as well. Isn't the wedding basically for the bride? So if that be the case, then why not just let the bride put up the money?
Because no, this is my humble or not so humble opinion, but no real man is going to sit back and let a woman pay for everything.
All right. Okay. Rose, let's get your thought on that. I mean, here it is. She wants the wedding. So she's got the degree, she makes the money, she's a manager on her job, and he works at a storage shelter for the past 3 months, and he's in between jobs. So why not let her foot the bill, Rose?
Hmm. I totally agree with Miss Blake. I know there were times, not too long ago, where, you know, the bride parents normally sponsor the wedding.
True.
At least that's how it used to be. Nowadays, that might have changed, but it used to be where the bride's parents. When both my daughters were getting married, I remember that their father and myself are the ones who really sponsor the wedding, you know. But as you get older, and if you know, now you guys are on your own, and, you know, you're paying for your own wedding, I don't think it should be left for the lady by herself to pay for this wedding. If that's the case, then that's telling a story right there, the type of man that she's getting married to, you know. So even that you need to take into consideration. He has to be able to put something on the table, bring something to the table, pay for something.
All right, Rose, I appreciate those comments. Well, let me, you know, while we're on that subject, you know, we did have a show before, and we're going to go to phone lines in just one moment. We did have a show where we asked the question, should parents have to pay for their adult children's wedding? I don't know if you recall that show, Ms. Blake, but, you know, it depends on how old they are and how much money they're making. I say no, let them pay for it themselves.
I guess it just depends on the arrangement and what they can afford. I think they should have to go in the hole for it. And again, going back to the real man comment that I made, I mean, first of all, why? I'm going to keep it real. Trying to take the gloves off. Why is she even marrying him? He doesn't even have a decent job, okay, let alone a wedding. She shouldn't even be thinking about marrying him. And the last thing I'll say, oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Ms. Blake.
And I'm going to get off my soapbox after this one. And the second thing is, a real man, okay, say if he was working and say, well, he sees that they really can't afford that, then he needs to sit down and have an adult conversation with her and decide on what's affordable, and they together make a decision as to if they really can afford a wedding or maybe do something a little smaller than something larger.
Okay, all right. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We got several people holding. We're going to go to 786-554. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Al from ATL, longtime listener, first-time caller, calling into the
show.
Very
good. Thank you, Al, for joining us from ATL.
I just have a comment. I think her name was Rose. So she said, you know, the young man had to come with something if the girlfriend or the fiance is paying for the wedding. What if he just pays for his tux?
What if he? Okay, Rose, let's pose that question to you. What if Al from ATL wants to know, what if he pays for his tux and she covers everything else? What are your thoughts to your comments in response to that to Al from ATL?
No, that's not enough. I'm sorry. That is definitely not enough. He needs to be able to put some money towards the wedding itself. Okay, so the food is going to cost $5,000 to feed the people that you're inviting. Put some money towards that. At least $2,000, even if she's going to put more of the money up. So it costs $5,000? Come on, come up with $2,000 somehow. Work an extra job. Do something where that you can prove that you're the man in this family that you're going to be having.
Okay, Al, what do you think of that?
No, I agree. So what do you think about paying for, you know, the engagement and the wedding ring and bands, as well as paying for the honeymoon?
All right, Rose, let's take that. Paying for the wedding ring and the band and paying for the honeymoon. All right, that's a contribution. All right.
Oh, so if he's going to pay for that, okay, I could live with that. That's fine, because now he's giving me a honeymoon. He's paying for all of that. The rings, of course, is his responsibility also, the rings. So, yes, I could see where, okay, now she's going to pay for the rest of the wedding. She's going to pay for the wedding, and he's going to buy the rings, and he's going to pay fully for the honeymoon. That's a good contribution.
All right. Al, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Al from ATL. We're going to go to phone lines once again. Let's go here. We're going to go to 917-399. We're going to ask all of our callers to please hold. Let's go to 917-399. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us. Angela, what are your thoughts tonight on signs that tell if he or she is the right one?
I'm going to be honest. I think there's nothing wrong with her paying for the wedding. Why not?
Okay, the whole wedding.
Yeah, why not? If she can afford it, why not?
All right, okay. Now, do you see that this couple should go ahead and get married? I mean, here, they don't sound compatible, but they're in love. You think they should go ahead and get married and just tell jokes every day? You feel that they should?
Yes.
Okay. And why is that?
Wild. It sounds crazy, but a lot of people get married not knowing people or thinking that they know people. They've dated for 6 and 7 years and got married and found out that wasn't the right person for them. So why not?
Okay. All right. Angela, we're going to ask you to stand by and let's take another caller here. And then, you know, this is really interesting tonight. You're listening to the Dr. Jess Walker Show, Signs That Tell If He or She Is the Right One. Let's go to 786-541.
Hello.
Yes, this is the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Who do we have on the air?
This is Michelle. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Good evening. Michelle, what are your thoughts? Signs that tell if he or she is the right one. I mean, we've got varying comments tonight. Al initially said that the guy should just pay for the tux, and since he makes all the money, you know, sounds pretty good, Al. But go ahead, Michelle, give us your thoughts.
I agree with a lot of the things that Ms. Blake and Rose said, and I think the way you start off in a marriage is the way you finish. So unless she wants to get to a point of frustration where she's constantly going to be paying for everything, I think, like Ms. Blake said, she should sit down and together they should decide and have a conversation. After all, they're going to be life partners. So I think it should be a partnership. And, you know, if she wants something bigger, like Ms. Blake said, and it can't be afforded, then they can sit down and talk about it and scale down. And like Rose said, maybe he can pick up an extra shift or something and work some extra, but I think that they need to go into it both. It's important for both of them. It's the beginning of their life. And I think that, you know, going into it, her paying for everything, that's going to wear down. I mean, all that giggling and laughing, that's going to last, like Ms. Blake said, only for so long because, you know, life is not always is laughter. And after the laughter, if you can't talk and you can't decide upon things, you know, between the two of them, and, you know, are they going to really have any type of relationship?
I think that that's an interesting perspective, Michelle, and we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go back to Al just for a second, because I'm still pondering. I mean, it doesn't sound like a bad idea, and most men would probably like to subscribe to that notion of him paying for the tux, and it sounds, Al, like Rose may have influenced your thinking to pay for extra in terms of the honeymoon, the you know, the reception. Al, would you say that you were influenced to say those things, or do you really feel that he should kind of stick with the tuxedo since he makes the most money, it appears?
No, I feel he should contribute in some way, you know. As Michelle and Rose and Ms. Blake said, you know, you're coming into marriage and you're meeting in the middle, so you both have to bring something, or else it's going to be one sided, and you really don't want that in a marriage.
Okay, all right. Let me go to Angela for a second. Angela, you seem to have a different perspective on this, and I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I mean, you know, all we're doing is giving our opinions. But, you know, I tend to agree. Something you said earlier, that people date for 6 and 7 years and they end up getting married and find out that even with all of that dating, this isn't the right one. So, I mean, why not just go ahead and dive into it with somebody that you don't know that well? I mean, Carol and Dave were only together for 9 months. And then they're just having fun. But do you think that that really is realistic, Angela, or just go with the flow? What do you think, Angel?
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say go with the flow because I've been married for 22 years, and I feel as though I'm still learning a lot of things about my spouse. And money is just material stuff, and if you have it and you want a wedding, then pay for it. And
okay.
He shouldn't be obligated to pay for it if that's what she wants. If she has the money, pay for it. Somewhere down
okay.
the line, he's going to have to put in for something else where he didn't want it. And we all know in marriages, I've paid some of my husband's debt, just like he's paid some of my debt. So I'm not going to allow him not paying for the wedding to decide our future. He might
okay.
can't pay for it now, you know?
Right. So that's interesting, Andrew. We're going to ask you to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You can listen to this show in its entirety 20 minutes after we come off the air. Ms. Blake, let's go to you just for a second, and let's look at this. Now, Dave, you know, I like Dave's personality because he's just looking at life from a happy-go-lucky perspective, and it sounds really, really good. Like he's happy, he's filled with energy, and a lot of people tend to take life so seriously, and they never get out of it alive. I mean, that should have to account for something, don't you think, Ms. Blake?
Oh, definitely. I think humor, people who take themselves too seriously, they just basically are not fully enjoying life. So, yeah, I love that part of his personality, but there also has to be balance. You know, I talk about that a lot. And so as a life coach, you know, we talk about balance. And so you just
right.
can't be all humor all the time because there are times and moments in life where you do need to look at things a little bit more seriously. I'm like, how are we going to pay these bills? You know, and
right.
I don't want to make
mm-hmm.
it all financial. There was
right.
a crisis in the relationship. But you can laugh to lighten the load. You should be able to laugh and laugh at yourself. But at some point, you need to do more than just laugh.
All right. Let me address this question to Rose. Rose, what happens when, let's say, you know, we go back to revisit one of your comments that you made about at some point she's going to want to have children. And let's say she's depressed now. She's been depressed about a week, and now Dave comes and he's telling her a joke and to try to lighten the load. And she starts to laugh, but she's not laughing as strongly. You know, can't that kind of overcome the fact that she's thinking about children?
I really believe that. It's all good to get along so well that, okay, he makes me laugh or she makes him laugh. But what happens when things are serious? Because the only thing I'm hearing that he has are jokes, okay? And you have to be mature. Jokes are not going to feed you. They're not going to pay the bills. And they're not going to give me what I really want if I really want a child. So, therefore, after a while, you know, I become depressed because I want a child and he still doesn't. And he comes in with his jokes. That is really going to annoy me. You know, I've often heard that sometimes the thing that attracts you to that person is normally the thing that turns you off of that same person. So apparently the jokes that he makes her laugh, and so that was attractive to her. She enjoys that, and so she gets with him. But now that she wants to take life seriously and she wants a child, and then now he's giving these jokes, that's going to be a big turnoff for her. At least it would be for me. So, you know, I don't think that's going to last.
All right. Well, Rose, I got to throw this one at you, and I got to take the gloves off on this one here. What if he says to her, listen, I know you're depressed right now, but give me about 5 to 7 years in our marriage, and listen, and she may even start complaining about the finances. Ms. Blake, I'm going to address this one to you also, and we're going to come back to some of the others of you all. But he says, give me 5 to 7 years, and I'm going to be the next Kevin Hart. What about that now, Rose?
Well, I mean, he can have his 5 to 7 years, but he's going to have it without me because now is when I want my child. I don't want to wait 5 years. How old am I at the time? My clock is ticking, okay?
What about that money, though, Rose? What about that money? What about that money then, Rose?
You know, I think that you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have that one thing that you think would make you happy, the money's not going to mean anything. So for a woman who really wants a child, the money might keep her for a while, but after a while, that's going to get old also, and she's going to want her child.
She'll want the child, but she'll take the money too, I'm pretty sure. Al, let's go to you. Miss Blake, what do you think? Now, I want to throw that one out there to you. He says 5 to 7 years, I'm going to be the next Kevin Hart, and then we'll have the money. Yeah, she'll be 34. She'll probably be 37 years old by then, and could she have forgotten? I agree with you, Rose. I don't think she'll forget about the children, and, you know, I really don't. Miss Blake, what do you think?
Well, first of all, we need him to learn to keep a job. Let's start there. So, you know,
Right.
So without a plan, you're planning to fail. Talk is cheap. All those cliches.
Uh-huh.
So he has to demonstrate that he is serious about accomplishing his goal. There's nothing wrong with a woman standing by her man to help him or to be there for him until he reaches goals or vice versa. But talk is just, people who talk do just that. They talk. So this guy can't even keep a job. So what is he going to do to prepare himself to be the next Kevin Hart?
Okay, he's going to try to do some stand-up comics. You know, get out there and try to do some of those, and he might get $30 one night. I think it was Michelle that mentioned take on a second job or a gig, and he might get $30 one night, and then there's another night he might, 2 weeks later, he might get another gig for $20, and, I mean, that's $50 in almost a month's time. You know, that was
I write about him in my book, but he's called the I'm Gonna Man.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Michelle just for a second. Michelle, let's get your thought in on this here now. I mean, he could. What happens if he makes it? And you know, Rose, I know you said that, okay, he's going to become the next Kevin Hart, but it won't be with you. But then Rose, I'm going to come back to you, but let's go to Michelle now. What happens if he does make it to be the next Kevin Hart, in your opinion, Michelle, here, and all of a sudden now you've decided to pull out from him and you still don't have the child yet?
I don't think any amount of money could replace a woman wanting to have a child. Like Rose said, if that's something that you desire, I don't think money is going to replace that. So he can be two Kevin Harts. If she still doesn't have her kids and she wants, you know, to have children, then she's probably going to look for someone who can, you know, fulfill that need for her.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Angela, let me go to you because you had the gloves on when you first came on the air. And let me just ask you, I mean, could the rest of us be limited? And you might be one of the few that's thinking outside the box further than we're possibly seeing. Angela, what do you think? I mean, what's more important? I mean, just deal with that situation when it comes. What do you say, Angela, since you said go with the flow?
I say go with the flow. And on top of that, you have a lot of stay-home moms who don't work for 4 or 5 years, and their spouses take care of them during that time. So why can't women do the same thing? It sounds like it's a double standard. I will say I am outside of the box. I'm okay with working and my husband get out there and take my kids to the park while I'm at work. If I'm making enough money to support us, depending on what I think is sufficient enough for our family, because some women really think that money is everything, and it's material stuff. The longer you're with someone, well, I'm going to rephrase it. In my view, money is not everything, and love will come before money when it comes to me. I would rather have some laughs and have someone make me happy, and we can be broke together. Now,
right.
I'm not talking about broke, homeless, broke where I don't have any food. But if that's the understanding that we have together, then I'm going with the flow. I'm picking happiness over money. Too many females are superficial, and they want too much when it comes to money.
Right. So, Angela, would you say that since you want the love, you know, that's first. And I understand you're saying that money is important, but it's not as important as having the love. So even if you all are broken, I know you don't mean literally broken, homeless, like you're saying, but if you're just, if the light bill is $115 every month and you're paying enough on it just to keep the lights on, you might be paying $80 and you're always in arrears. As long as you've got those jokes going on, isn't that, I mean, you're still happy and you're having the pizza and all of this other stuff that you want to eat. You're just not giving the light bill people all the money all the time. Would you say that that's fair enough?
Dr. Walker, I'm at a point in my life where, let's go buy some candles. I don't want the electric bill in the first place. How about that? And we
okay.
can laugh with those candles lit, and I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right. What about cable? I mean, don't you want to have, like, all the 900 channels for cable and the extra premium channels? Don't you want all of that?
Actually, I have all that, and guess what? I probably watch cable 1 or 2 hours a day, and I'm normally working or doing things with my family. I'm outside, and to be honest, I'm back to nature. I'm not about TV anymore because TV lies, so there's nothing there for me.
Okay, all right. I understand that. So the lights, it doesn't matter if the lights are on. I understand. Ms. Blake, what are your thoughts? I mean, maybe that can reduce. As a matter of fact, Angela, you got a good point there, perhaps, because if you don't have to worry about the light bill, then what happens is that's reduced. So Carol and Dave might need to think along those lines. Ms. Blake, what do you think? Is that realistic for Carol and Dave?
They're a young couple. Again, I guess it depends on where you're at in life. I definitely respect Mrs. Dupree's point of view. I get what she's saying. And I've said this on other shows, it depends on where that individual is. But this is a young couple starting out. I just have an issue with Dave. And I was going to say, Carol has confused Mr. Right now with Mr. Right.
I think that is along the line. We've got some comments that are coming in. We've got about 7 minutes before we bring the – they're starting to threaten me already again. We've got about 7 minutes before the show comes to an end. Let's take the first comment. Rose, we're going to give you the first one and try to give as many of you – we're not going to be able to take all of these comments that have come in. Female writes in, and she says, in reference to signs that tell if he or she is the right one, I do like what Angela says, go with the flow. However, the telltale signs for me were wishing I had listened to my mother before I married my ex-husband. If only I could turn back the hands of time. What did you think she's saying? She wished she could listen to her mother before she married her ex-husband. It sounded like she was glad to get rid of him.
Well, she didn't give too much information as to listen to her mom about what. But anyway, I would say, you know, I think most times or many times it's good to listen to your mom. You know, they sometimes normally see what you can't see. So whatever it is that she's referring to as to what she should have listened to her mom about, obviously she found out now when it's too late that she made a mistake. But you know what? She can pick up the pieces and go on and start over again.
Wow, well, I can tell you, Ms. Blake, you're making an impact because, as Rosa said here, you know, don't beat up on yourself, and that's what you always say over the air. Let's take the next comment. Angela, we're going to give you the next one. This female writes in, she says, signs that tell if he or she is the right one. It is not easy when you're actually in love, as Cal is, and fail to see the relationship for what it really truly is. I can't say that I didn't see the warning signs because I think we all see them, but love somehow overshadows our good judgment. Angela, do you think that there's any validity in what this lady is saying, that we all see them, but love overshadows our good judgment?
How can I answer this question? I will always choose love first. And
okay.
We all learn valuable lessons in life, and we're going to learn it with the person that we love. Whether they're good for us, bad for us, or not, you're still going to learn a lesson. It's up to us to learn what the lesson is.
Okay. All right. Let me go to Ms. Blake. I'm going to come back to you on this one. Let me go to Michelle. Michelle, do you think that there's any validity in what was said here, that we all see it, but love somehow overshadows our good judgment?
Sometimes love does overshadow our good judgment, but like Angela said, you learn the lessons regardless. You know, I feel like I'm the sum of all my experiences, and I am who I am today because of what I went through, whether it's hard. You know, maybe I had to learn that lesson for whatever reason, and I still treasure those experiences. So, you know, sometimes people try to tell you, but sometimes you're not going to learn unless you live it.
Okay. All right. So experience can be a good teacher. Ms. Blake, let's go to you on that one and ask you that question. I mean, does love overshadow our good judgment?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I can say personally it has happened. I mean, even life coaches aren't perfect, and we need to put that out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I agree with one of the callers who said that you usually see it. You pretty much always see it. But, again, you're in love. You feel this bond to the person, and it's not that as simple as I sometimes put it to give that gift a goodbye. But eventually, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you come around. You have enough.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I don't want to miss anybody. Al, my producer, is telling me he's not on here. He's listening online. Let's go to Michelle and give her this particular one. This comment comes in. This caller, let's see what she says here. I'm having difficulty reading that one. All I can say, here's another one. This male writes in. He says, all I can say is, if you have doubts about the man or woman who you are dating now, please don't waste any more of your precious time, because in essence, what you see is, in fact, what you get. Michelle, how true is that, do you think?
I think that's pretty accurate, and I think we do ignore the signs. But, you know, when you're in love, sometimes no one can tell you, you know, you're not going to listen to reason. And as women, we tend to think, especially when you're young and, you know, you're thinking of that fairy tale that you want, and you tend to think that you're going to change things, you know, that your love is going to make it different, or your relationship is going to be the exception. And, you know, that's just, I think, you know, that's just being immature, but, you know, we do see the signs, and a lot of times we ignore.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's take this. We'll take two more. Ms. Blake, I'll take this one, Ms. Blake. We'll give you the last one. This male says, I'm still reaping the repercussions from ignoring the signs that stare at me in the face when I had a number of opportunities to get out of a bad relationship. For some reason, like others, I really thought I was in love. But I finally asked myself, in love with what? Someone who abuses me by cheating because I cheated with her on her ex-boyfriend. Wow. Okay. So, I mean, I've heard the saying, and many of you all have as well, what goes around comes around. So it sounds like he cheated with her on her ex-boyfriend, and now she's cheating on him. And he's getting the repercussions by ignoring those signs because he lived that. And, you know, we talk about experience being a great teacher. He lived that. So now he feels it's abuse. But he probably wasn't thinking along those lines when it was happening while he was doing it. All right. Ms. Blake, we're going to give you the last one here. And I guess his message, and of course, Ms. Blake, as you always say, and I heard Rose implying it tonight or inferring it, don't beat upon yourself too hard. Learn the lesson and move on. That's something that you always say. That's not exactly what I would throw me in my two cents without the gloves, but but I'm not going to say that's good for you. That's what happens. But I won't say that, so I withdraw that if it sounds like I'm saying that. But let me go, Ms. Blake, and give you the last one here. And this male says, I'm in my late 20s, just as Carol and Dave, and I've been dating a girl I met in college. She has a 2-year-old daughter that has never married. We've been dating for just over a year, and I am in love with her, and I've shared that with her. She has yet to respond to me that she loves me also. She does not seem to be that interested, except she likes me taking her out and helping her with her bills. Okay, there it is. Do you think this is a sign that she may not be the one? Keep in mind, I'm really in love with her. He sounds very serious, Ms. Blake, like he's really in love with her, and he sounds like he wants you to tell him what he wants to hear. What do you think, Ms. Blake?
Well, he needs to pay attention to what she says and what she does not say, and more importantly, what she does. And she's not saying that she loves him. Now, to the gentleman, I don't know her true feelings. So what I would encourage you as a life coach is to have the conversation. Be direct. So, you know, I've been telling you that I love you and you really haven't been responding. How do you feel, honestly? And then he needs to accept whatever that answer is.
Right. Well, she would probably, I mean, I'm just thinking here as another life coach as well. I mean, she might counter that because some people can think fast on their feet. And it's usually women are very, very, they're good at that. They're probably the fastest thinkers on the planet.
Smarter?
When it comes to
smarter, perhaps?
What I will say it is, she will probably counter that by saying something like, well, you know I love you. I wouldn't be with you if I didn't love you. You know, because he's helping her pay her, he's taking her out, and he's helping her pay her bills. So, I mean, she's not going to give that up. I mean, Ms. Blake, so that's going to be her counter. But, and that's why I always say your action speaks louder than your words.
Correct.
And Angie, let me just go to you, and you're going to come back to Ms. Blake, and we're going to end it here. But, Angie, let me just go to you real quick. Angie, do you think that this woman loves this man? I don't think so, if she's in love with him.
No, but they're young. They're having fun. They're playing around. They're getting to know each other. But that's what we all do on first dates, on a couple of dates. So we're still getting, a lot of people are still getting to know each other even after 6 years. So
I understand. Ms. Blake, Science Time says, just give a two of your thoughts, Ms. Blake, on signs that tell if a person is the right one. Give us two. Rose, we're going to ask you the same. Just one or two. Ms. Blake, what are some signs that let you know that this is not the right one? And maybe a sign that lets you know this is the right one.
A sign, if it's not the right one of the things, they will tear you down. I talked about that in the beginning of the show. They'll be negative towards you. They won't be positive. You won't feel better around them. You'll feel worse. And if they are the right ones, they'll show you the love. Their actions will clearly show that.
All right. All right. Let me just go to Rose real quick. Just give us one if it's not the right person or one that he or she is the right person. One or the other.
I think he could be the right person if he looks out for you. You know, you notice that he spends time with you and he looks out for you, for your best interests.
All right. Angie, let me just go to you real quick. And then we'll go to Michelle and ask, Angie, give me a sign that he is or he's not the right one, or she is or she's not.
I don't have a sign, Dr. Walker. I can't even answer that question because a lot of us have been in relationships for 6 or 7, 10, 15 years, and we find out they are not the right. So I just know that you should know yourself. And when you identify what you don't want, you can move forward and push on.
All right, I like that. All right, on that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to just mention here the signs that tell if he or she is the right one. If the chemistry is there, I think that that is so important. I believe that Dave and Carol had the chemistry, okay? But I think that in addition to the chemistry, you must have the compatibility. The compatibility has to be there. So if you've got just chemistry and that's all you've got, I this is just my humble opinion here, I don't think that that's going to work. But if you've got both the chemistry and the compatibility, I think your relationship stands and your marriage stands a better chance of survival. On the night note, join us live for your half-hour inspirational program on Friday. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us once again here live next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.